It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another one of these. I'm Austin York. That's Tristan Rhines. This is America's Team, and we are finally here after a lot of talking about a lot of different things, from the combine to the NFL draft to training camps. The start of the season is upon us. We're actually recording this the day before the first game of the season, the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Dallas Cowboys, your America's Team, our America's Team, America, is playing in New York against the Giants. And Tristan, let's just get right down to it. I'm just going to make this bold statement. I have not felt this excited or this kind of optimism for the Dallas Cowboys and their team that they have put together in probably over a decade. And I'm pretty certain that if you asked fans that follow the team, not just the everyday fans that it might be a little jaded because of past failures, I think that the fans that follow this have got to be feeling the same way. From the outside looking in, I know you're a Patriot fan. What do you think about your Dallas Cowboys?
Well, your Dallas Cowboys, they look really good, man. We talked about this a lot the entire offseason. This team, I mean, everything, of course, is played on the field and not on paper, but you look up and down this roster, man, and they're loaded at effectively every position. I love the cornerbacks right now, of course, Stephon Gilmore, Diggs, you got Micah Parsons in that, of course, fantastic pass rush. As long as this offensive line holds up, man, you've got a ton of talented skill position players. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, of course, coming out of that slot. Brandon Cooks is one of the most slept-on wide receivers for some reason in the NFL for a guy that puts up 1,000 yards every season almost. And Tony Pollard, of course, coming out of that backfield. I mean, it really is just going to kind of center around the nucleus right here, the offensive line, and then Dak Prescott. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I think they got a heck of a team.
I really do. I don't think that you could, if on paper right now, if you're making a guess about how everything's going to play out, you can make some bold predictions. Well, I don't think the Eagles or the 49ers will be a good or whatever. But on paper, those teams are built to win now. The Cowboys are definitely one of those. Mm-hmm. I don't think, if you're a prognosticator and you're trying to be fair and balanced to all the teams, that you can look at the Dallas Cowboys and say they're not a top three team in the NFC at least.
Oh, certainly. I mean, they're definitely a top 10 team across the entire NFL in my eyes as well. I'd probably, I think I did a power ranking on my own. I think I had them like right at like 6. Right.
Yeah,
there.
And that's fine. I think you could say some other teams in the AFC might give them a run, but. And we've talked about the NFC a little bit here. I think that there's more questions coming out of the Eagles camp and especially the 49ers camp than there are the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Cowboys, you know what you've got at quarterback. You really don't know what you've got at the other two quarterback positions, Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts. I've spoken about Jalen Hurts. We can go over this again. But Jalen, again, 3 years in the league. He's done it one. He had a very good season last year. But we all know that consistency is the key in this league. Is he going to have a little bit of falling back down to earth syndrome this year? Is he going to have that hangover from losing the Super Bowl? His offensive coordinator isn't there. There are some questions there in Philadelphia Eagle land. While the roster is stacked, you've got to wonder. They don't have those kinds of questions other than play caller here in Dallas, which I don't think is as serious a deal. So I think the Cowboys, to me, are a lot more consistent going into the season.
Talking about Philly, I look at that roster and I think across the board they are one of the, just like the Cowboys, man. They're incredibly deep. They're incredibly talented. They've gotten a little older on that front defensive line. They've been trying to supplement that in with a couple of defensive line pieces. Jordan Davis last year, and of course this year, Jalen Carter. But Jalen Hurts being the nucleus of that team. I mean, very similar situation to Dak Prescott, like I just mentioned. I mean, everything is going to run through him. I think the Eagles may take a tad of a step back, but I don't think it's going to be a major drop-off. This team is just so loaded from top to bottom. I think the coordinator positions, maybe defensively, you're not going to see a huge change in philosophy. They like aggressiveness there. Their new defensive coordinator comes from a very similar tree as Rich Gannon. So I don't expect the defense philosophy-wise to change too much. But I think offensively, yeah, things might look a little more disjointed this upcoming season. You've got a completely new play caller. That's going to be the big question for Philly.
No, I think that I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that they're just going to fall on their face here. And I think that this is going to be a very good team. But I think we're going to start seeing some cracks in Jalen Hurts. If I'm making a guess, because, again, we know what Dak is. We've seen Dak go year after year throwing up huge numbers. When you really just stack his numbers against some of the better quarterbacks in the league, he compares very well with almost all of them. There isn't a single number that he is just head and shoulders. Well, these guys are doing that a lot more. Even last year when he threw a lot of picks, when you look at the previous seasons, he did not throw – he had one of the lowest interception rates next to Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes in the game.
Yeah.
So we know these things can happen. Jalen Hurts, though, to me, is still on that – after the third season, you love to see that jump from
He has progressed really well from his rookie season, his first year as a full starter now being – and again, obviously, third year being an MVP candidate. It's a heck of a jump.
Yeah. And so you wonder – we've seen a lot of guys with those great jumps. We've seen even wearing that Kelly green.
Yeah.
We saw a guy named Carson Wentz have a great, what was it, second year in the league? And he MVP candidate before he went down. Now he's out of the league. He couldn't find a job. The next season he came in, he looked horrible. We saw Nick Foles win a Super Bowl with that team.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, he had thrown 27 touchdowns and four picks. And he can't find a job. Or the next year he signed with Jacksonville is a total bust. I can go up, down, if you want to really jog my memory, all these guys that have had great years but have not been able to sustain that consistent play every single year.
Mm-hmm.
By betting against Jalen Hurts, probably not.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a way to be seen. And the same thing goes with Brock Purdy in the NFC. I think even a lot more so than Jalen Hurts because of that injury. And we've seen him essentially for eight games.
Yeah. I mean, but Brock Purdy is another interesting person to talk about, especially with the context of this NFC picture. I think the 49ers are a good team. I think this is a team that's also built to win, very similar to Philly and Dallas. I think that's your real top three nucleus of teams in the NFC right now. And each of them kind of have that big general question mark. I think, let's just to run through them all. Jalen Hurts, can he continue that consistency? Can he be consistent, right? That's the real question we're asking here. Can he keep being an MVP candidate level quarterback? That's not an easy thing to do year in, year out. Brock Purdy last year just was asked to be a game manager, facilitator, and not turn the ball over. And he did that until he was knocked out of the NFC Championship game. It seems that San Francisco has confidence in him, considering that they have since cut ties with Trey Lance, who is now the second or third string backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. So it shows that there's at least confidence out of the San Francisco, the Bay Area, that Brock Purdy is at least going to be good enough to bring them back into that championship level. But yeah, I think you're alluding to the right thing here.
The quarterback
absolutely makes a big difference. You at least know what you're getting out of Dak.
Yeah.
But Dak, in my eyes, does have some limitations now.
Like, you're right. I mean, again, and I'm not suggesting, but I will say this, because of that consistency, I think Dallas right now is poised to be the best team in the NFC, slightly over those other two, if I had to choose. And I have not done that. I can't remember the last Cowboy team that I this confidently said, this team's going to be good. You need to watch out. This is a double-digit win team, almost guaranteed. I don't want to. I hate making guarantees, especially when it comes to the Cowboys.
Almost guaranteed, though.
Almost guaranteed. They would be the closest I possibly can make to a guarantee. But that's because you look up and down this lineup. When you listen, I think what I've been so impressed with the Cowboys is the way that they've talked about the training camp. They've always had this singular focus, Super Bowl. They're not afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw today... I can't remember their theme is Carpe something. It's
Carpe Diem.
No, not Carpe Diem. It's Carpe something seize everything, which is what McCarthy wants to really get across the team is, hey, man, this is a chance for us to do whatever we want to do. This, as he said, this frame here, this picture frame is worth 1,000 words, but there's nothing in it. And what you can do as a team is fill this with all your probabilities. What do you got?
Carpe omnia, meaning seize everything.
Seize everything, omnia. And that's the team. And you're seeing guys like Micah Parsons just say, that is what I believe. I don't really remember a lot of Cowboy teams ever going in with Super Bowl aspirations that weren't like thrown upon them maybe by the fans, but they believed themselves. I don't ever remember Jason Garrett, who, God, I don't really have a lot of respect for in the coaching ranks.
The modicum of mid?
I just never saw him with that kind of confidence. So I'm excited for this year's team. I did want to bring up something that you brought up, Trey Lance. A lot was made, and this is always going to happen when a quarterback comes to Dallas. A lot was made by the Trey Lance trade. First of all, what was your reaction to it? I know if you're like every other Cowboy fan, you probably were a bit surprised. What do you make of it?
Well, again, as the non-Cowboy fan, I just thought it was a really interesting move. Keeping an eye on this Dallas Cowboys team, of course, for this program. You look at the backup quarterback situation. Cooper Rush played pretty well, even behind some pretty spotty offensive line work in the preseason, but he looked pretty good, pretty efficient. I just look at the Trey Lance signing as a project. It is, okay, the San Francisco 49ers obviously just admitted defeat. I mean, maybe a change of scenery is all he needs, and maybe he'll live up to that number three pick overall potential, but there is some work that needs to be done with Trey Lance. So getting him for a fourth-round pick, I think that's a steal. Overall, you're getting a guy who was once upon a time traded for three future first-round picks.
Yeah, good Lord.
I mean, definitely a loss on the San Francisco 49ers' part in that deal, but they lucked out, obviously, getting at least a game manager in Brock Purdy. I think it's a project. I don't think there needs to be anything more made out of it. He's certainly not going to be pushing for starter status.
No.
And I would honestly, that's like I mentioned earlier, is he quarterback two or quarterback three? I don't even know if he's pushing Cooper Rush for quarterback two right now.
Third,
I mean,
definitely, yeah.
He's coming off of an injury last year. He just hasn't spent a lot of time playing at the NFL level and hasn't looked terribly inspiring, even in preseason games against, well, admittedly lesser talents.
And I know that a lot of people are going to make a big deal of this because he was a number 3 overall pick. And so when you put on that star and Dak Prescott has the pressure and, oh, this is going to pressure Dak Prescott, that's just total ridiculousness. You're right on the money when this is a project. That's all that this is. And I don't see why Cowboys fans wouldn't at least support this.
Yeah.
Because if you swing and miss and he stinks, you've lost a fourth-round pick. That's what you've done. And that's not bad at all. You still have Cooper Rush and you can still draft whoever. But if you nail something here, let's say he gets pretty good, and then you've got a situation where, well, maybe we can trade this guy because we've seen – that people will do some stupid things when it comes to quarterbacks. Maybe they will trade you a number two for a guy if they see enough of him. Or if something, God forbid, happens to Dak, maybe he's a guy that can fill in maybe for that long term. We just don't know what we have here, and we're not going to find out, I don't think, this year.
I just think it's fair to temper expectations.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a guy who is walking in with the idea of changing the franchise. His idea probably walking into the star is I just need to become better.
And this is what I think this really says is about how poor the 49ers have been with the quarterback position. I don't know of a franchise that has been as good as they have. As you mentioned, their roster's pretty stacked, but yet they have been horrible at scouting and picking these quarterbacks. It was Not that long ago, they made Jimmy G the highest paid quarterback in the game when he went 5-0 as a starter there. Mm-hmm. Got injured, they made him. And then takes him to the Super Bowl NFC Championship game. Ah, they're done with him. We've got the real guy that we come in.
Yeah.
His name is Trey Lance, and we're going to trade up to get him, and we're going to skip over Micah Parsons and Patrick Surtain and all these other guys that were already good, that have already proven to be good. And then they gave him the reins. He gets hurt, and immediately they go back to Jimmy G, and then he gets hurt, and then they go to Brock Purdy, and then they found their champion.
It's been a Shanahan quarterback carousel, honestly, yeah, for years, man. It's
and now
it's
they
very
like
crazy.
Sam Darnold, which is
I mean, all reports are saying he's been lighting up camp. I'm happy for Sam. He had a rough start to his career. So.
I get you there, but it is amazing to me that everyone looks at Shanahan as this genius offensively and so on, and he has done a lot with
– oh, he's done a fantastic job, in my
with
opinion.
With quarterbacks that aren't necessarily ready. But the point is that he has not been able – he has evaluated these quarterbacks, and he has not been able to find him one. And when he has made that leap, it's been a horrible pick, and now they're eating crow. So this is what we're going to do here. We're going to run around the league here.
Sure.
And I know the AFC – I mean, the AFC, you've probably got 10 teams that could probably win the damn thing.
I mean, it's so crowded this year.
So let's go ahead and start with the AFC East. And this is your division, New England Patriots are your team. You've got basically, I think that's going to be a very interesting division because you've got all of them pretty much competitive.
Oh, yeah, every single one of them in
Dolphins,
the
AFC. Jets, which maybe the most interesting story in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, who've been very good for the last several years, and then, of course, New England. What do you see happening in that division?
Well, looking around the division, I think there is a weird trend that you're going to notice with offensive lines. The Dolphins' offensive line last year allowing Tua to get hurt a couple of times, they were pretty spotty. I mean, they got Teron Armstead on that left tackle spot, but otherwise kind of questionable. The Jets' offensive line as well just hasn't really had a chance to improve, and that's been kind of a source of issues for them throughout preseason. Buffalo, I liked their pick of Osiris Torrance out of Florida. I saw him. I thought he was a fantastic pickup, but one man does not equal the entire offensive line, and that's what killed them in the playoffs last year. And New England, they're starting their season without their right tackle, Riley Reiff. There's just no offensive line consistency. But on the other side of the football, the defensive lines are all good.
Yeah,
Miami had a stellar pass rush last year. The Jets are walking in with a very impressive defensive group, in my opinion. Robert Saleh has tailored and built this pass rush. It's going to be disgusting. The Patriots, Bill Belichick, they've got a lot of really good young playmakers. Keon White, as the Patriots fan, I'm putting you guys on notice. This guy looks really special. And the Buffalo Bills, of course, once Von Miller gets back, they've already got a bunch of nucleus of young talent around him, too. It's going to be a real battle of health in that AFC for me. I mean, Tua's obviously been a big question for Miami. Jalen Hurts already went down in preseason for them. It's going to be really interesting.
I look at, in my opinion, I think it's the Buffalo Bills still, and I'll tell you why, because until you knock them off. Look, I understand everyone gets excited when they watch Hard Knocks, and I like Aaron Rodgers too.
Sure.
I really do. I think he's probably one of the best top three quarterbacks I've ever seen, but most accurate. Would like to see the Jets do something because that franchise has been nothing for so long. But until I see it on the field and manifest itself, when I look at the Dolphins, I look at the big question there is Tua.
Yeah.
Can he stay healthy? I mean, this is a guy that has had concussions to the point where they were thought about, we're just going to take him out for the rest of the season. We're not going to. There were some legitimate questions if he was going to play anymore. I know there were some people saying, you probably need to quit and just count your lucky stars. It wasn't more serious. So I'm going with Josh Allen, who I thought may have taken a slight step backwards last year. Not a lot.
It was a turnover issue for him last year.
Yeah, I just thought he was pressing a little bit. If they work on some of that, New England, I never discount Belichick, but that's what I'm discounting, or not discounting, the coach. I've got to see a little bit more on the field from that. I know they have some players.
The offense definitely has to show improvement. It's, as a Patriots fan, it was frustrating to watch a team that if a field goal difference would have won them
two or six more games,
they would have been a playoff team.
At least.
I see it going Bills to win the division. I think the Jets are going to end up being a playoff team. New England might sniff a wild card, But I think Miami might finish last. It's just general health for them.
Yeah, and the thing to me is when you start talking about offense too much, that's all they're – I mean, they've got a good defense, but that all – let's say clearly the offense is what people are hanging their hat on.
Yeah.
Waddle and then Tyreek Hill, and you're like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I just don't know who's going to throw them the ball. I don't see Tua being there the whole season. Like you said, health's going to be a problem. Here's one that I really don't know where I'm going on this. I'll probably have to think about it as I'm saying it. AFC Central. I didn't think this was going to be a competitive division.
Central.
Oh, excuse me. North. I'm thinking about the old 90s. AFC North, when you've got Buffalo, Baltimore Ravens,
yes.
Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah. who look a little bit more, at least in preseason, like the old Pittsburgh Steelers a bit. This could be just like the East, very competitive. Who do you like? Yeah.
Who I like the most? Cincinnati. They made a huge addition this offseason in getting Orlando Brown from the Chiefs, former Pro Bowl level left tackle. The biggest problem for Cincinnati
line.
Was always that offensive line, and now they've slowly, over the last couple of years, started putting real guys in front of Joe Burrow. I think if Brown really holds up, if he doesn't go through that slow start period like he did last year with Kansas City, man, Burrow could very well be an MVP this year. I think he might be my favorite to win the award. They've got a ton of talent around him. Of course, you got T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon. The offensive line is really that cherry on top for them right now.
Yeah, I think that they're still the class until Lamar Jackson. I look at him, and again, this is kind of the people are always showing me stats on the guy. But he just is, to me, if you think Dak Prescott has been bad in the playoffs, I think Lamar Jackson has equally been as bad. I don't know why there isn't more of a rush to defend Dak Prescott as there is a Lamar Jackson. People defend that guy to the hilt.
I think you get it from
both
sides,
because he doesn't have a lot of wide receivers. He's got better wide receivers this year.
Yeah.
But he's got to stay healthy. And again, till he does it, I will say the sneaky team in this one, don't go to sleep on the Browns.
Yeah.
I think with Deshaun Watson, who's still a talented quarterback, you've got some of that defense is really started to come alive. That offense will be better. Mm-hmm. I think they might be a playoff team.
I mean, talking about Lamar, it's a situation where, like, I like Lamar generally. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's capable of winning. He's the most winningest quarterback, at least in the regular season, since he entered the league. Like, the guy can win football games, and he is very talented, but there's two sides of NFL fandoms that seem to be at least the fans who are just like, he's trash, and I don't like him for some reason, or the, I think he's great, and I think he's the best thing that's ever happened to football. I feel like I'm kind of in that middle.
Yeah,
I think he's good, though. I think overall Lamar is good. I would say the Ravens, with health on their side for sure, are the second place team to me.
Yeah.
But the problem is health. Last year, Rashad Bateman went down with injury. Odell Beckham, of course, is coming back into the fold of the NFL
once again. How good is he going to be after
How good is he even going to be, right? That's a great question. Their number one pass catcher, Mark Andrews, last year, it was on and off the field with injuries. The defense, Marlon Humphrey's already hurt. So the Ravens have the talent. They're very similar to the Dolphins. And you have a lot of these really talented playmakers, but can they survive getting to the playoffs, even with great head coaching and really good special teams, of course?
And one of the things that people don't want to talk about is when you have these run option guys, a lot of them, they do have the possibility of getting hurt.
Yeah.
And so we've seen that happen to Tua. We've seen that happen to Lamar Jackson.
It makes me concerned for guys like Josh Allen, too.
Yes.
I mean, he led the team in rushing yards the last two seasons.
And Jalen Hurts, who went out last year because of that against the Bears. So that could be an interesting one. So you're picking the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm going Bengals, Ravens, Browns third, and then the Steelers. More or less, you could order this division and who the best quarterback to the worst quarterback.
Yeah,
that's probably what it's going to come down to.
Generally the best way to do it. All right, the both the Souths,
sure,
NFC and the AFC are trash, but let's go with the AFC South since we're in the AFC.
Yeah.
You got the Indianapolis Colts, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and
Titans.
And then Tennessee Titans. There you go. I don't really know if we need to spend a lot on this. I assume you're saying Jacksonville's a class.
Absolutely. Exactly. It's going to be Jacksonville, barring anything catastrophic. If
they got a good, when they added Ridley,
Ridley's
you really do
disgusting.
Have that balance of receivers.
He's so good. I mean, him, Christian Kirk, by the way, I think is, I mean, everybody freaked out last year, like the year he signed that contract, but he had 1,000 yards last year, was a really good pass catcher for them. I think they're going to work in tandem and not against each other.
Yeah.
So, because Kirk's going to be that slot guy, Ridley's that outside weapon. Evan Engram had a renaissance for his career.
And that's what I was going to say. Fantastic. You've got it tied in. You've got Travis Etienne.
Etienne.
He's excellent running back. So I think that defense got a little bit better in the draft.
A little better. That's definitely the big question mark.
But still, that division is trash. Like I said, you should be able to run ramshot. I think Tennessee took a major step back despite signing DeAndre Hopkins.
They're a couple of moves away from being a rebuild. They've talked about moving Tannehill and Derrick Henry the last couple of off seasons, and those guys aren't getting younger. Houston and Indianapolis, they're
probably going to be vying for the first pick, maybe besides Arizona.
Well, I mean, they've got their new quarterbacks, but these are two teams that are absolutely still in the middle of rebuilds, or even in the early stages of rebuilds.
They're going to be bad, and both those quarterbacks, I don't expect them to just tear it up this first year here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And then the AFC West, which is always fun.
That's very fun.
The Las Vegas Raiders probably are not going to be the team to beat in there, but you never know. They can be competitive. But here's the Los Angeles Chargers, the Denver Broncos, which you think would be better, and, of course, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Where are you going here?
I mean, it's hard to bet against the winners, man. You got to go Kansas City to lead the division. Yeah. I think L.A., though, I know
I
how Cowboy
really like
fans.
Justin Herbert.
I mean, I know how Cowboy fans feel about Kellen Moore, but that offense is going to be a little more pass happy. They've got the receiving weapons all the way down from 1 to 4.
Yeah, and they just drafted Quentin Johnson from TCU. So they're really going to be, and he's kind of be the guy. I think you always wonder Keenan Allen, and then Mike Williams, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be as good a threesome on the field as you can.
And another underrated guy.
Austin Eckler is a running back. I mean,
Eckler's disgusting, man. He's led the NFL in touchdowns the last two seasons. And another guy on that receiving core that doesn't get enough love is Joshua Palmer. He was really good for them last year when Keenan Allen was out. Yeah. Like they have depth there at receiver, man. And you know Kellen Moore likes to toss that ball around.
I will say this. I would not be surprised if Kansas City struggles a little bit just because
Kelsey's starting hurt.
Kelsey is hurt, but you, at some point, the receivers, I know as good as Patrick Mahomes is, at some point, these receivers, you're going to have a receiver that is a legit one. I don't know who that legit number one, maybe Sky Moore. That guy's what, 5'9"? I mean,
the fantasy outlook looks like it's Kadarius Toney, but you never know.
Hasn't he had injury problems already? So this is, I just think that that's eventually, and then you got Chris Jones sitting out there. I just don't know if this gets fixed. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers snap that one. I do expect Denver to be better because Sean Payton alone, but I still think that it's basically going to come down to the Chargers and Chiefs. And I think the Chargers might pull this one out. I don't think the Chiefs will miss the playoffs.
No.
I think it'll be close.
No, I think I effectively agree with you, but I think the Chiefs are still going to be the better team there. Over the longevity of a season, they just have the coach and they've got the quarterback. And whenever they figure out the Chris Jones situation, they're going to have the defense. I got the Chiefs 1, Chargers 2, but not that far back, all due respect. I think the Broncos and Raiders are probably just going to fight it out for third, honestly. I mean, the Raiders team, they've made a couple of moves, but I don't believe in them. Like, I just have a really hard time believing in that Raiders squad.
All right, now we've done all that. Skipping playoffs and that, who's your AFC champion right now? If you had to pick one.
Yeah. Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati. And you know, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I think, oh man,
I think Burrow could win the MVP this year. I think, and by that same token, I think Ja'Marr Chase could lead the offensive player of the year voting.
I really do. One thing I like about Joe Burrow, and I've said it, is confidence. When guys have confidence, it just affects their play to a degree that it doesn't other guys that are just like, I think I'm good. That's one of the reasons I like the Cowboys. I look at Micah Parsons and I say, that guy is just, he's going to make it. He's going to will it to happen. And no more important is a position on the field than the quarterback. And if your quarterback is just exuding, Joey Burrow is almost on the borderline of cocky. And so, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with Cincinnati going there or that pick. I still think, though, until you tell me otherwise, the Chiefs, even though I didn't pick them to win the division, I really think that somehow they're going to win this thing. I didn't think that team was going to win anything last year with the lack of receivers, but they managed to somehow pull it all together.
And Mahomes had his most like efficient season.
And that's when I knew when he won that Super Bowl, banged up, he had his ankle all twisted up.
Yeah,
I thought, all right, this guy, I got to give it.
Oh, he's the real deal.
It wasn't just that, but
yeah.
All right, let's switch over to the NFC. The more fun, I guess. Well, I don't know if it's more fun. It's more.
It's a lot less packed.
All right, NFC West. We're gonna. I assume you're taking the Niners to win that division.
Yeah,
we've got the Rams who are in total disarray. Cup's already out.
Question marks all over the place. I mean, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, who even knows if he's gonna play this season.
They stink. Seattle.
They're good.
Maybe good, but I don't think they're going to knock off the 49ers unless something really bad happens at quarterback position.
I agree. Seattle's got some good pieces. I really love Kenneth Walker a lot. They got Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA in the draft as well. They've got a lot of talent on the offense. It's just going to be a quarterback question. Can Geno Smith have another good season?
It's the same thing. And people, look, I love what he did last year. I was loving the contract that they gave. He earned it.
Yeah.
But again, it's consistency. He has not been consistent in his career. He had a great year last year, but we have to see it again. So I guess the 49ers there. We'll go to the NFC South again, the trash division. I think this one's clear in my opinion. I think the Saints are the best team in that to just run down. That's the Buccaneers, the Falcons, and then the Carolina Panthers, who I think will be improved.
Sure.
But they're not. I think the Saints with Derek Carr, they're getting Michael Thomas back. I mean, Alvin Kamara when he comes back, but
Chris Olave is, you know, very,
Chris Olave
good.
is on all my fantasy teams. I love the guy, but one thing that we forget about the Saints, they've got a pretty good defense and we don't really think of them as defense. Now, last year I thought they were a playoff team had they had a quarterback. They didn't. Now they do.
Yeah,
I think Carr is good enough to get them into the to the playoffs.
We talked about this quite a bit during the offseason, that Derek Carr might very well be the fourth or probably fifth, at least, best quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this feels like the Saints' division to lose. They've got a pretty good schedule ahead of them as well.
It's one of the easier ones.
Yep. So, they're, in my opinion, they're as close to a playoff lock as it gets out of the NFC. The Falcons, I think, could surprise people, and I think Bijan is going to be that good. I think even with Desmond Ridder being a huge question mark, this team is either going to be the basement dweller of the NFC, or they're going to be like a fringe team that might squeak into
and
a playoff
spot. I'd love to have that confidence, because I would like to see Bijan do well, but I just remember a guy coming out of Florida who was supposed to transform the tight end position, Kyle Pitts, and he looked great his first year, but the next year they just didn't do anything with the guy. And a lot of that could be quarterback, but I still think you've got to get him ball. You've got to find ways to get him in space, get him open. I don't know if the Falcons are up to the task on there. But then we do have the NFC North. I think another very competitive division, because really I don't see any one of these teams being head and shoulders. Everyone loves Detroit. Everyone is buying Detroit. The hype of I love Dan Campbell. I love watching him coach and the fire that he displays. Are you buying the Detroit Lions as the clear favorite in that division?
Am I buying the Detroit Lions? I am sold on the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
I am in on the Detroit Lions, man. This is a team last year that actually had a sneakily good offense. I think they were top five in a lot of parameters. The division around them, I mean, the Vikings were arguably the biggest paper tiger in the entire NFL last year.
They won so many games.
They
by
won
a point
11
or,
two, or they won 11 of their like 12 games by a score or less in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's good to be clutch. Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to improve defensively, but it's going to take a lot longer. Brian Flores is a good addition for Minnesota, but I mean, Chicago, I want them to show me that Justin Fields can be an efficient and good passer before I crown them as NFC North champions. So far, he's only thrown like 60% completion percentage. I understand, Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmetter are his only receivers.
DJ
now they
Moore,
got DJ Moore and Claypool and Mooney and all those guys. Like, you have less excuses.
I really like what they did in the offseason, but again, people have got to understand it's a show me league.
Yeah.
And until Fields makes that big jump, you have to assume that he is still going to struggle, even when he has those other guys
around
him.
This is a big hot seat year for me on Fields. You don't have any excuses now. The offensive line got better. Darnell Wright, I liked him a lot coming out of Tennessee, their first round pick. Like, they've got talent on both sides of the football.
Good running backs.
Yeah, and even if as a run-first offense, Fields lit up fantasy leagues, of course, last year with all of his rushing yards. But and when it comes to actual wins and losses, the Bears were abysmal. So, I mean, they were the number one pick before they traded
I thought was a very effective trade.
It was good. It was good to rebuild. But this is a big year for Justin Fields. It's going to really give you an idea of what this future looks like, if it's going to include him or not. But, yeah, I'm all in on the Lions, man. They got a good offense. They got good talent.
Forgetting one guy that has got some big shoes to fill. Jordan Love. In Green Bay. I think that they've got good receivers. I think that they're going to be a more competitive team than people think. Hmm. I don't necessarily know that they win the division. I think that Detroit, just if you're looking at it, I think got a better on paper. So I think that they're going to win the division, but I would not be surprised if Green Bay is right there.
They've got coaching, man.
Yeah, and then go all the way down to maybe week 16, 17, 18 before that's decided.
And another guy on that roster that isn't getting enough love is Luke Musgrave. They got
this tight end
at Oakland State.
The only
State
thing that was weird about that was they drafted him, and then the very next round, didn't they draft another tight end?
I'm not sure, but all the reports I've been seeing are that Musgrave is like the guy. He's been dominating camps for
them. Cowboys were really high on him, more so than Dalton Kincaid and some other guys that they had at the tight end position. So, all right, so you're going Detroit in that one.
Yes, I'm sold. I'm in.
All right, the NFC East, the most important of all divisions. We have the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders, the New York Giants, and then your Dallas Cowboys. What say you?
It's tough. I know this is a Cowboys podcast, but I'm going to go Philly, but it's going to be close.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going Philly, but it's close.
I'm flipping that around. I think New York is going to have a big come to Jesus year. Last year, like the Minnesota Vikings, they overachieved. This was not a team that should have probably made the playoffs, and they did. get all credit to Brian Daboll over there.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a wonderful coaching job. He won Coach of the Year for a reason.
They're ahead of schedule on their rebuild.
Absolutely.
For sure.
But this year, I think they're going to come back down. The division is a lot tougher, I think. The schedule's a lot tougher. You got Philadelphia, as we mentioned. I think they might not. I don't know. They won 14 games, 13 games last year.
I think they'll take a step back.
Yeah, they'll win 11, maybe 10. I don't know though. But I think the Cowboys have enough to win this division for the consistency. I think it could be 12 games or 11. I'd be really shocked if the Cowboys did not win double digits. I know Vegas has them at 9.5.
What is the final under? What does that final week of the season look like?
Detroit. They end the season with Detroit, I think Washington are the last two games. So those games could mean something, and especially the Detroit game. So I think the Cowboys win the division, though. And so here's the most important question now. Who's coming out of the NFC? You have Cincinnati going for the AFC. NFC.
This is a tough one, man. Because I really do think it's a three-team race here. It's San Fran, it's Philly, it's Dallas. I don't think Philly's going to repeat. I think that there's some kind of curse with these teams when they make it. They just don't make it back.
Lose the Super Bowl, I mean.
The NFC is really wide open, but I'm going to say it's between Dallas and San Fran. Man, until Dallas can beat San Fran in the playoffs.
San Fran in the Super Bowl?
I think San Fran could maybe make it. I think... With trepidation, I will say the 49ers.
I have never picked Dallas to go to a Super Bowl, even when I was I never have.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can do that now.
It's you don't want to doom the Cowboys.
I don't want to doom them, but I do think if there is a team to do it, this would be the team. Yeah. If I'm thinking back all those teams that were good, and I was caught up in them when they were good, and I'm talking the Romo years when Jerry Jones said it the other day that he believes in his tenure, he had five or six teams that probably could have won the Super Bowl that didn't. I agree with that. I actually do. I don't know that they were clearly going to be the favorite. There was going to be some dogfights. But when you look at the teams that did win the Super Bowl, I remember when the New England Patriots beat the Rams. And this was in Tom Brady. It was 13-3. Horribly played game on both sides of the ball. Neither one of those teams could have probably beat, even though the Rams did to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think had the Cowboys gotten there, they would have been able to take care of New England that year. Tom Brady was a little bit younger.
Well, I'm happy that it didn't go that way.
I'm just saying, so anything can happen. Yeah. And so I really reluctantly say I do think that the Cowboys are the class of the NFC this year. And so I think it would be Dallas and Kansas City in the Super Bowl for me.
And I'm going San Fran and Cincy.
And
I'm cautious on the San Fran side. I mean, injuries, you never know. There's going to be one of these teams
that we
talked about.
Cincinnati's played San Francisco twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
both against Joe Montana, lost both of them.
I know, but
are we saying Joey B wins this?
I think Joey B, man, it would be a heck of a Super Bowl. I'll just say that much. I don't want to call a winner yet. I mean, there's a half a year of football ahead of us, but I just think, man, the other thing that we often forget about is there's always an injury that to completely derail someone's season.
This is,
man.
Again, this is all based off if
right
everyone,
now.
If everybody stays relatively healthy and so on, I think it always comes down to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And we look at it. That's why I can't pick San Francisco. That's why I'm a little hesitant on Philly. I do think Dak at a top 10 quarterback, I never said he was the best. I do think he's capable of getting them there, and I do think he can win it. He can't do it all himself. He's going to he's got to make sure he's distributing the ball well. They can do it.
I'll put a little bit of pressure on Dak this season. I try not to do this much, but this year with this team, this is the year that you have to prove that you're better than good.
Yeah.
You really do. I mean, guys who win Super Bowls, like Mahomes recently, right? Like these generational guys, these guys that, go on to become Hall of Famers. This is the team that is built with there's no excuses.
No.
If you can't succeed with this team, you can't push for a Super Bowl. NFC championships is the bare minimum, in my opinion. This is an unsuccessful.
That's absolutely. I completely agree 100%. I do think if the Cowboys fail somehow, and there's a million ways that it could go down, I think you're going to see some real wholesale changes around here to the point where you're going to see some firings. you're going to start seeing some questions. Dak is going to be the quarterback for the Cowboys for the next couple of years at least.
Yeah.
But still, you're going to now, they are looking for his heir apparent. They will be trying to find something because obviously he's just not getting it done. If it comes down to that, if he plays like he did the last 2 years with the San Francisco against the San Francisco 49ers. All right, you heard it this week. I hope you have a great week of week one in the NFL. We'll come back to you next week. We've got a new member. We'll introduce you to him, and we'll talk about week one in the NFL, get you ready for week two. Until then, have a good one. America's Team, that's Tristan Rines. I'm Austin Wood.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.